and welcome back to the program. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the program Captain Borsay. Good afternoon or evening, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Yes, fine. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your unit and your assignment?
No problem. My name is Captain Loretto V. Borsay, Jr. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. I was born and raised in Kalihi Valley, Hawaii. I attended Damon Memorial High School, graduated class of 1996. Wow. Currently, I'm deployed in Iraq 09-11. I'm a company commander for 37FA-HHB.
Okay. Is this your first deployment there, sir?
Negative, sir. It's my third deployment.
Oh, okay. As far as family history, we talked to a lot of our service members, and a lot of them either had fathers or, you know, some member of their family in the military. What encouraged you to join the military?
What encouraged me was my uncle. Mm-hmm. My uncle was a Navy Master Chief. He was in the Navy as a Master Chief, and he just motivated me to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got me into the military. What really got me into the military was the college, getting a degree, and then paying for my tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Attended Shamanad University and got my commission to the University of Hawaii.
Okay. Well, prior to going in the military, what did you do? You were just a student at that time, or?
Yes, I was a student at the University of Hawaii.
Okay, great. As company commander, what are some of your duties right now that, you know, of course, your duty mission?
Currently, as the HHB commander, which is kind of unique because I have my own AO, which is an area of operation,
mm-hmm.
and I am in charge of a small village, which is Oja and Wainat, and a little south of that is Tarablan, Abador.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we do PRT missions, so it's a dual set mission.
Right. Okay. Sometime when I talk with some of the older soldiers, I'm a little bit recently retired myself, anyhow. But of course, every generation, you know, talks about the caliber of the soldiers or the members that they're with, anyhow. What is your impression, or what is your feeling about those who serve in your command?
To be honest with you, the soldiers that I have under my command are very, very excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, they're smarter than I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
you know. And one thing about it, they're very motivated. You know, you tell them to do, you give them a task and purpose, and they execute it to the fullest intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know also nowadays with a lot of different issues that's going on, I guess it's very challenging as commander to, not only take care of the duty mission, but when you have a close relationship with your subordinates, of course, their family issues, things of that nature. Do you find it difficult? Is it difficult to handle or address, you know, the duty missions and some of the things that some of our members have to deal with while they're on deployment?
Well, it's always difficult, but being from the islands, you know, you try to instill that family background with mm-hmm. the soldiers. You know, as a leader, I try and instill that family, you know, that ohana mm-hmm. within my team.
Yeah.
And I'm a true believer that when you get to know that soldier, you know, he'll respect you more, and he'll do things for you, you know. He'll do things not just because he has to do it, but because he wants to.
Yeah.
And I instill that teamwork, but that family spirit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know that, of course, we always talk about, you know, the spirit of aloha, it seems to be alive and well over there also. With your mission, of course, do you interact much with the locals there? Or?
I pretty much interact with the locals probably, I would say, about five to six times daily.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm always meeting up with them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I could honestly say I'm meeting with them on a daily basis.
Right. Okay. Would you like to share any? What are some of the highlights of your deployment so far?
To be honest with you, as I said, you know, being from the islands, I love I'm a hands-on type of person, and I like to get to know the soldiers and just mm-hmm. being able to serve my country proudly and be with the soldiers here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me want to stay in the military. It makes me stay. It makes me want to stay in the military. To be honest with you,
right.
You know, like growing up at home, I never thought that I'd be in the military. Besides, you know, that one uncle that I had, like I said, said in the beginning of this interview that who was a Navy Master Chief.
Right.
Other than that, I never thought I'd be in the military. I thought I'd be a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
But just being able to serve here, proudly with the guys, and just, you know, bring that family. You know, we're a close bunch of guys here. You know, mm-hmm. and just doing our part so we can go back home safely to our families.
That's great. Okay. Well, it sounds like, of course, you're going to make it a full career and go as high in the ranks as possible. Is there any? Do you have anything in particular that you want to zero in on as far as your career? Because I know right now you're a field artillery officer. Is there anything else that did maybe change your MOS a little bit later, or is this something that you want to stay in this particular field?
To be honest with you, I'm looking at just staying in the artillery branch. Because it's a small community, and you know I've been in service for about 10 years, and just to see the soldiers grow up in ranks from a private to a sergeant first class,
right?
You know, you get real close with that NCO
uh-huh.
or that officer that was under your command, that lieutenant who's now a captain. You know, you see them grow mature.
And,
right. You know, I want to be part of that and stay within the field artillery community.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, we talked to several members in the past, and quite a few of them have been, of course, nominated for, I think, NISI over the year, so, you know, top military honors anyhow. And one of the questions I asked them in the past was if they had the opportunity, would they go from the enlisted to the officers' ranks? And many of them said that they would, you know, decline that offer, mainly because, again, it's being, like, hands-on, and, you know, they want to stay close to their, you know, their fellow service members also. They feel like they have more to give. Not there's anything wrong with the officer corps, but many of it, you know, mentioned that they would, you know, prefer to be in the enlisted ranks anyhow. Do you have many outstanding soldiers that or feel that have been given the opportunity to make that transition from enlisted to officer?
Yes, to be honest with you, I have quite a few under my command that's looking at getting out and accepting that GI Bill, mm-hmm. doing ROTC or OCS, or some are looking at also just to put in a warrant packet to be a chief officer.
All right. Okay. All right. We all, as I mentioned a lot of times, but the media sometimes they seem to, you know, pick up on one thing and they beat it to, you know, to no end anyhow. What are some of the things that you noticed that you know, that you're dealing with in your everyday mission and also interacting with the locals that is not being picked up in the press that's more positive than negative?
Could you repeat that question again, sir?
Yeah. Sometimes the media, they, of course, dwell on the negative, and they miss a lot of the positive things that go on when we have deployments to other parts of the world. What are some of the things that you think maybe the media may have missed that is, you know, in a positive vein that is not being widely reported?
I'll be honest with you. I'm part of 3IBCT,
mm-hmm.
and we're aligned with the Saladin province of Iraq, in the vicinity of the city that we're kind of in charge at. My battalion is at Tikrit.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I have no doubt, you know, that we could pass my AO, my area of operation, to the Iraqis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they could take full lead in it, you know. I mean, I'm not, I know it's been heard, I've seen it in the paper a couple of times, but it's not as, I would say, highlighted in the press, but, you know, the government of Iraq, they're stepping forward, they're trying mm-hmm. to take lead, you know, so we could turn over, you know, the security force to them, and pretty much we are, you know,
right.
we're, you know, everything that we do mission-wise is, it's with the Iraqis, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes we're just following them right now,
okay.
you know.
Good. Well, that's good to hear, because that's what we, you know, the service members we talk to here, it seems like there's a lot of progress that's being made, the mission is being accomplished, and everybody, you know, seems to be doing their country proud. You know? Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss that we might have missed that you'd like to share with our listeners?
The only thing I just wanted to do was just give a shout out to my family back in Hawaii.
Okay, great. All right. Do you want to mention anybody by name or just a general hello?
No. Yeah, no, general hello. I got a big family in Hawaii, but a special aloha to my wife, Danielle, and my four children, Ashley and Mariah, Lawrence and Jeremiah. And I'll be home in the next probably about 5 more months left here in theater, and I'll be back home to the islands so I can go back surfing.
Great.
And eating some zip packs.
Yeah. What kind of support do you get? I mean, of course, we know about do we have Operation Homefront and some other good organizations that do a lot of good things for their service members while they're deployed, and also while they're here, keeping the home fires burning. Anyhow, is there any particular organization that you'd like to single out as far as, or there is there too many to recognize?
I'll be honest with you, there's a lot to recognize, but what I would want to signal out is the FRG, our 37. Mm-hmm. FRG, Family Rentals Group. Those are the wives that's back there, you know, holding down the household, you know. To be honest with you, behind every good soldier, there's an excellent, strong housewife, you know, who's back there, or not just housewife, but wife, I would say, that supports that soldier, you know. Mm-hmm. People always say it's hard for the soldier to be here, but it's also hard for the wives to be back home in Hawaii, you know, that has to deal with the kids.
True.
You know, those, you know, taking them to the sports, you know, and I just want to give a, you know, special thanks and support, special big thanks and aloha to the FRG in Hawaii.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, it's tough enough, of course, with the service member to be in deployed, but it's also extremely hard, of course, on those who are left behind anyhow. And I know that there's many that, you know, get involved in community activities. Speaking of which, when you were back here, were there any organizations or any community activities that you were involved in?
What I did was, before I deployed, I just helped coach basketball for my son's school, which is Christian Academy in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I grew up in Hawaii playing basketball, football, and I also wrestled in college.
Right.
And it's good to give back to the local kids in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one other question. After your military career is over, I guess you'll do it as long as you possibly can. Any plan? Of course, still maybe a little bit too early, but any plans after that? You mentioned law enforcement. That if you hadn't went in the military, that you might have been in law enforcement. Do you think you might continue or get into that line of work after you finish your career?
To be honest with you, if I do retire from the military, I'm just looking at just spending time, spend some quality time with the family.
Right. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Or, again, any other final hellos or goodbyes that you'd like to say to someone?
No, I just appreciate the time, just being able to do this interview with you, sir.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and, you know, the mission to talk with us. Because just about every interview, I always mention that it does give a chance to do these interviews, you know, to put a face on the individuals that are deployed over there, and hopefully, you know, we get a lot out of it on, you know, on all sides anyhow. But of course, we thank you on behalf of our listeners for your service to our country.
Well, no problem, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, sir, thanks a lot, and of course, we'll be in touch anyhow. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a second. Okay, sir.
Okay.
All right. Anything that you might have wanted to add or take out of that? Or?
No, I think I said I'm supposed to be a warrant officer, but I said chief officer, but that's fine.
Okay. All right.
I think it's kind of like it's getting late here, but other than that, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, what I'm going to do is, I mentioned I got it on the Broadcast 50 site. When I get ready to broadcast it, would it be all right if I contacted your wife and told her when we were going to broadcast it?
Yes, that's no problem.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, sir. We'll go ahead and get that posted. We'll have it up on the Sunday program. We'll try to get it this Sunday anyhow. But we'll definitely have it posted on the Broadcast 50 site. So it'll be play on demand. Anybody can go there and, listen to the interview.
No problem, sir.
Okay. All right. Again, sir, thank you very much, and be safe over there.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. Okay,